Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel again tonight. And we won't review all the verses that we've covered. We're in verses 5 and 6, which began a new section of this chapter, which goes to the end of the chapter, then only 11 verses in the whole chapter. I wanted to just remind you of what we had looked at in these verses, 5 and 6. And that was the command to these six men, which we believe were the princes of the Chaldean army, the Babylonian army. I won't re-preach that message this time, but his command to them was to execute their duty. And remember, we had talked about it in according to Scripture here, the verses that we have here, they were to go after. That ought to remind you of what the message application was. But they were to go after the one clothed in linen. In other words, the one clothed in linen was to go before them, marking those that were saved, to be saved, to be spared. And these six are given orders here to execute their duty to slay all the rest. That they were to go after the one clothed in linen. And they were to slay all that they were to slay without exception. Yes. They were to go through the city, the whole city, which was Jerusalem, according to our text, which was representative of all of Judah and Israel. They were not to have compassion. They were not to be merciful. They were to slay young and old. That meant children, women, men, and those stooped with age and gray-haired, like several of us here tonight. And if you remember, it was because they had done wickedly. They had committed great idolatry. They had forsaken God. In the study of Ezekiel, we've seen that God bore long with them. For over 900 years, he bore long with them. He was long-suffering. Amen. Chapter 7, he says, that's enough. It's come to an end. Destruction is upon you. But we pointed out last week and before closing, and probably most of the message would have been along this line, mercy precedes judgment. Mercy precedes judgment. We see here mercy was going before. The one clothed in linen was going before, and he was marking those to whom he was to mark, all those who were lamenting the sins of the people. He was to mark. And the destroyers were to come along after him, following along after. Mercy precedes judgment, just as it did in the days of the flood. God was long-suffering, and he waited until the ark was built, which representing of his grace and his mercy to those that would enter in, and he would shut the door, being merciful to them and not sparing any of the rest. Just as it did in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot. And God was merciful in sending his two men to Lot and his family to tell them he was going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah for their great sin, and that they should leave the city. And I like this ever since I've studied that and seen this. They tarried. It was the next day, and God was going to be pouring out fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah, and they tarried there. And those two men had to take them by the hand and pull them out of the city. Mercy preceded God's judgment. We looked at what the Holy Spirit told us through the Apostle Paul in the book of 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4, and that those who have died in Christ and their bodies have been laid in the grave one day, Christ is going to appear in the air, and those souls are going to be reunited with those bodies, and we which are alive are going to be caught up together with them in the air. And then if you remember, we looked at Revelation chapter 4 and 5, where we see those who are caught up in the air, they're together in heaven. And they searched through heaven in chapter 5 for one who was worthy to open the book. And they found the Lamb of God. Amen. The one slain before the foundation of the world. And they're falling down at his feet and they're worshiping, saying, "Thou art worthy, thou that was slain and has redeemed to himself a people out of every tongue and tribe and nation." And then what did we find in the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation begins with? Great tribulation. God pouring out his judgment. You see, mercy preceded his judgment. He was merciful in taking us, his people, out, and we not having to undergo his great wrath.
Amen.
Tonight, as we continue looking at this sixth verse, and let's read verses 5 and 6 to get the setting. And to others, he said in mine hearing, "Go ye after him." That is, go after the one clothed in linen, through the city and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women. But come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men, which were before the house. So tonight we come to the part he's giving them the explicit directions. He's giving them the directions concerning those that are marked. It's what we want to know tonight. Those that are marked. He said, come not near any man upon whom is the mark. They were not even to approach unto them. They were not to approach unto those that were marked for salvation. They were not to draw near to them. You stay away from them. They're mine. God had promised that they would be safe. Going back to, I believe it was the 5th chapter. Remember, there was a remnant. Yes. There was a remnant that was going to be scattered upon the face of the earth. The sword would follow them. And boy, as we've looked down through time, the sword has followed those remnant. But they were not to be destroyed utterly. And these are representative. Those that are marked are not to be touched. They're not to be come near to. It was promised to them. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah in chapter 15. Jeremiah 15 and look at verse 11. In verse 11 we read, the Lord said, verily it shall be well with thy remnant. Verily I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well in the time of evil and in the time of affliction. Here he's promised it. It's going to go well with you. I'm going to entreat the enemy. They do you good. If they don't bother you, as we find here in our text in Ezekiel, don't you come near them. Don't you approach unto them. They're mine. Don't touch them. Turn with me to chapter 38 of Jeremiah. Chapter 38 and look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, my Lord, the King, these men have done evil in that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. You see, the bread was low, and so they had just given him a morsel of bread a day. Well, we studied that, didn't we? In one of the previous chapters. God foretold that to Ezekiel, that was going to be. And he was to represent that in his laying on one side for 390 days and the other side for another 40 days. And during that time, he was to bake him some food. And he was only to take so much a day. And only so much water a day. And we give you what the measurement would have been. How could man survive on that? Well, Jeremiah here is in the dungeon. In a pit. The likeness was that he sunk into mire up to his size. And he's only getting a morsel of bread a day. He's about to die, King. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, take from hence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. So Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went into the house of the king under the treasury and took thence old cast clots and old rotten rags and let them down by cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. And Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, said unto Jeremiah, put now the old cast clots and rotten rags under thine armholes, under the cords. And Jeremiah did so. So they drew up Jeremiah with cords and took him up out of the dungeon. And Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. He still remained in prison, in the court of the prison, but not down in the dungeon. He was drawn out with cords of love. Well, we can't preach that message either tonight. We don't have time for that. But he was drawn out with cords of love. Amen. You see, God spared him. Just like he said he would. Jeremiah was one of the remnant to be spared. Turn with me to 39th chapter in verse 11. 39 and verse 11. Now Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah to Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, saying, take him and look well to him and do him no harm, but do unto him even as he shall say unto thee. So Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, sent, and Nebuzaradan, Rabsaras, and Nergal-Sharezer, Rabmag, and all the king of Babylon's princes. Well, those four names there, we looked at when we were looking at the six men, princes, you see, to go into the city. Even they sent and took Jeremiah out of the court of the prison and committed him unto Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and he should carry him home. So he dwelt among the people. There he's even released from his prison. Turn with me to Proverbs, just briefly, Proverbs chapter 21. Just want to point this out. Nebuchadnezzar, we've looked at Nebuchadnezzar and his coming to Jerusalem, laying siege on Jerusalem, and wanting to destroy Jerusalem. But God wouldn't let him destroy those that he had marked for salvation. And Jeremiah was one of them. Verse 1 of chapter 21. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. It doesn't mean that king is a saved man. It doesn't mean that king is one of the Lord's. But the Lord has control over even the wicked. And he turns the wicked's heart as it pleases him to accomplish his will and his purpose. Back to the 39th chapter of Jeremiah. I want to read verses 15 to 18 now. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the prison, saying, go and speak to Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring my words upon this city for evil and not for good. And they shall be accomplished in that day before thee. But, I like the buts of the Bible. They're a wonderful study. If you haven't done it, you ought to do it sometime. But, I will deliver thee in that day, saith the Lord, and thou shalt not be given into the hand of the men of whom thou art after, or art afraid. For I will surely deliver thee, and thou shalt not fall by the sword. But thy life shall be for a prey unto thee, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord. See, Ebed-Melech trusted the Lord. And he said, King, Jeremiah's in the dungeon. He's going to die. He's near to death. You've got to do something. You've got to let us get him out of there. And so Zedekiah gave the command. You take 30 men and you get him out of there. So he does not die. Because Ebed-Melech, an Ethiopian, trusted God to deliver Jeremiah out of the dungeon. God spared him from being destroyed when Nebuchadnezzar came into the city. Get down to bring this part to a close tonight. None of his sheep shall be lost. Not one of them. Not one of them lost. Not one of them be destroyed. For the foundation of God standeth sure. Look with me at the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, and verse 12. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, them that reverence God, which fear before him, which tremble before him, them that reverence God and tremble before him, it shall be well with them. We reverence God. We seek to do his will. We seek to obey his commandments. We seek to do all his commandments. He's given us a heart that desires to do that. We reverence him. It's because we fear him, because we tremble, that we seek to do his will. We've been looking at his judgment of Israel, his judgment of Judah, the destruction that he brought upon them for their rebellion and their stiff-necked and their hard-heartedness. We know his mighty power to work. Turn with me, Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 7. We read, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. I've experienced that firsthand. I've experienced that firsthand. Now, it didn't happen immediately when I thought it ought to happen. But it happened after a time. It happened as it pleased the Lord to bring it to pass. You see? Turn with me to Psalms chapter 37. Psalm 37. I like this psalm. Not that I can claim any part of it perfectly, but I like it. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. That word fret there actually means don't be angry with evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass. And wither is the green herb. Don't be angry with them. Listen, God's their judge. God's going to take care of it. Trust in the Lord and do good. Oh, well, a few months ago we preached messages along that lines on Sunday morning, huh? Do good to your enemy. Whew. That is a tough one. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Well, now just think about that. Everybody thinks that's a request slip. God's given you a request slip, and anything you want to ask God, he'll give it to you. If you delight in him. Isn't that what they're saying? Delight in the Lord. Make him first in your life. Seek him. What happens when we do that? What happens when we seek him in his word? What happens when we go to him in prayer? What happens to him to us when we worship him? When we assemble together with the brethren? Our heart becomes his heart. We don't ask for the things of the world. We ask for the things that are going to benefit us spiritually. And he'll give you those things. Things like grace to do his will. Mercy when we fail. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him. And he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way. Don't be angry with the one who prospers in the way, and you're getting along with meager. It's God's providence to you. God's got better things for you. Because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass, God's got much better for you than he does him. Do we ever stop to think of that? No, we get our eyes on, well, now why is that wicked person over there prospering so, and I'm having to get along so meagerly so? Well, God's got much better plan for us than what's planned for them. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. You see, when we get angry with the wicked, when we get angry with those evildoers, you know what we end up doing? We end up doing wickedness. We end up doing things that we hadn't ought to do. We have thoughts we hadn't ought to have. We say things we hadn't ought to say. I've been there. I know. You see? Turn with me to John. Oh, I know you know this one. Know it well. I like looking at it. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 27. Boy, what assurance. What assurance that nothing is going to destroy us. We're not going to perish. Verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and over in verse 16, he said, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Well, who are the other sheep?
Us.
Well, yeah, it was us, but who's the other sheep now? They still aren't in the fold. Well, they're the lost sheep. You see, there's saved sheep and there's lost sheep. But not everyone out there that's unsaved is a lost sheep. But we don't know who they are, so we are supposed to preach to them all. You see? But back to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I will give unto them eternal life. You know what that word eternal means? I know, we've said it before. Without beginning, without end. Wow. That's wonderful, isn't it? They shall never certainly not. That's what never means. Certainly not. Perish. Amen. They shall certainly not perish. Wow. I like that, don't you? Amen. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Well, who are you? My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of his, my Father's hand. I and my Father are one, he says. There's no one that can pluck them out of his hand. So, we know Romans 8. There's nothing or no one that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, that he has manifested to us, bestowed upon us. 2 Timothy, in closing. 2 Timothy, in chapter 2, in verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You see, everyone that is known of him will be seeking to depart from iniquity. They'll be seeking to live a life of holiness and righteousness, well-pleasing unto our Heavenly Father. Well, we're going to close there tonight. Shall we stand?